Obrigado.
I think we're on. Woo! I had to bring my notes because I just finished them. Oh, you think I'm kidding? What's going on? What's going on, Dakota? God, church already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is going on? A lot. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. Words written by Charles Dickens in A Tale of Two Cities in 1859. Amazing how appropriate it is right now, over 150 years later, written about a time over 250 years ago, the time of the French Revolution, the conflict between good and evil, light and darkness, wisdom and folly, joy and despair, suffering on one hand and hope on the other. So what is going on, as Dakota sang? Even that song released by Marvin Gaye in 1971, 45 years ago, is fitting today, isn't it? And that song was from the point of view of a Vietnam veteran who returned home to the country he had been fighting for to find an abundance of hatred and suffering and injustice. Well, it is the best of times, and it is also the worst of times. That's what we're living in. That's our world. It's hard not to focus on all of the insanity and the tragedy that's going on in the world around us, on what has become a weekly, if not a daily, occurrence. It's heartbreaking. The world is at war. We are living in war. And I feel like the soul of the planet is trying its best to recalibrate. And it's having a tough time doing it. But I know that there's an alchemy that's happening. That there's a chemicalization that is taking place on this planet on which we live. We talk about this in classes a lot here at Unity of New York. Chemicalization. How many of you are familiar with chemicalization? Well, for the rest of you, this is when a new idea comes up against an old, deeply embedded belief. And there is a chemical reaction that happens. It's like the old science project when you pour vinegar on baking soda. Remember? And there's an immediate reaction. Well, when something is so deep and something new is coming in and room has not been made for it, there's a reaction. And our planet is going through that. So how do we do this thing? How do we live in a time of war, not knowing when or where the next thing is going to happen, but being pretty certain that it is? It's like we've returned to the Dark Ages, isn't it? Only this time, there are advanced weapons of destruction, of mass destruction. And in too many ways to count, it seems that we are going backward. Lewis has been away this past week in Washington, D.C., working on an event with Joanne, our former finance director. And the event is called the March on Washington Film Festival. It's a festival that commemorates the landmark demonstration of 1963, when Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his historic I Have a Dream speech right in front of the Lincoln Memorial. And this is where he called for an end to racism. And Lewis told me that at many of these events at the festival in the past week, people who were actually there in the 60s, who experienced and lived through that time, feel like our country, our world is moving backward. Yet they have hope. And even though it's impossible to go back in time, it certainly feels like it is. It looks like it is. But one thing we have to remember is that what's going on today didn't just randomly happen. And it also didn't just recently happen. We are living right now in the results of years and years and years of what's been going on. Marvin Gaye sang about it. Charles Dickens wrote about it. Martin Luther King Jr. and so many other civil rights leaders marched about it. And thank God, there have always been people who had hope, who believed, who inspired change. The Unity teachings remind us that what we focus on is what grows. And at a time when it's all too easy to get caught up in one tragedy after another tragedy, we have to remain hopeful. We have to remain hopeful. We can't ignore this stuff, but if we don't have hope, what do we have? We must be soldiers of light. We must be soldiers of light. Unapologetically, this crap that I've heard over the years of unity being the best kept secret, well, I'm tired of that perpetuation of that. We're here to be soldiers of light. Somebody has to do it, and the somebody is us. We're so used to being in an either-or kind of society, in a state of mind that says it's either this or that, when in the truest reality, it's both and. It's not one or the other. Everything is happening simultaneously, and we can't ignore what is going on. It would be impossible anyway, and we don't want to, but what we have to remember is that there's also a lot of good happening, a lot of good happening right now. And it's easy that it gets overshadowed. It is the worst of times, and it is also the best of times. It is the best of times right now. And even if you have somehow developed a miraculous discipline to stay away from the news, you're still feeling it on some level. It's energy. Everything is energy. It's in our collective consciousness. And I admit that I am a news junkie, especially during political seasons. And we all know that this current election cycle is not for the faint of heart. It is advanced listening. But there are far too many times that I have found my news shield wearing down while I'm hooked into MSNBC or CSN, or just one more half hour or one more hour. And there are times that I forget that news reports are prayer requests. If I don't put on that spiritual Teflon before I go in to the show, it can be like water being poured into the soil, where it just becomes one. But I want to be informed. I really want to be informed. Maybe that's my excuse, my addiction. I don't know. I want to be informed because for me, being informed plays a really big role in what I've chosen to do with my life. And on a day like today, when I stand here before you, when I do my very best to make sure that Spirit is speaking to me and through me, saying what needs to be shared, I'm reminded not only of all of the darkness going on, but of all the light. We have night, we have day. They balance. Good things are happening all around us, all the time. There is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life. Yes?
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 Yes.
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 And then there's human behavior, free will. I was listening to an interview with John Lewis, the congressman from Georgia who recently led the sit-in by the Democrats in the House chamber just weeks ago. Do you remember that? For change on gun control in our country. And he said, sitting there on the floor, I felt like I was reliving my life all over again. During the 60s, the peaceful sit-ins started with 3 people, 4 people, and then they spread like wildfire. He said, this will too. And in this interview, he talked about how they actually studied the discipline of nonviolence back in the 60s. They studied. They met every Tuesday night at a Methodist church in Nashville. And they prepared, they role-played. They studied what Gandhi attempted to do in South Africa. They practiced coming from love. Isn't that amazing? They practiced coming from love. They practiced that even if someone kicks you, spits on you, pulls your chair out from under you, they practiced remaining nonviolent. And he said they were taught to make eye contact, to be friendly, to try to smile, no matter what was being done to them, to say, yes, you may beat me, but I am human. He said there was never one single incident of their people ever striking back in retaliation for whatever was done. And he also talked about the power to see, to visualize, to have the faith that it's already happened, to act as if it's already there, the equality that they stood for. And this reminds me of a familiar song from South Pacific called You Have to Be Carefully Taught. You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught before it's too late, before you're 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. I just got chills. You've got to be carefully taught. John Lewis talked about how you have to be taught the way of peace, of love, of nonviolence, just like you have to be taught the opposite. We are so blessed right here in this room together. No matter where we are on the journey, we're so blessed that we're in this place, in this energy that each of us is co-creating together. John Lewis said that in the bosom of every human being, there is a spark of the divine. He was speaking unity. They were taught to remember that years ago, the person who was inflicting this violence, whatever this violence is, was once innocent. a baby, a child who had to learn, to be taught to be violent. We know that the potential for both good and evil are within each one of us. Free will. John Lewis also talked about the power of love. Love. Love is strong. Love is powerful. Their movement was a nonviolent revolution. It was love at its very best. And I'm amazed when he says he never, ever became bitter or hostile, even when he was beaten to the point of unconsciousness, nearly to death. I love that he said, hate is just too heavy a burden to bear. Hate is too heavy a burden to bear. And Martin Luther King used to say to them when they were together, just love the hell out of everybody. And that's what we need to do. Just love the hell out of everybody. Love the hell out of them. It ain't easy, is it? We keep hearing about all these rallies for peace and love with everything that's going on around us. But listen, these are not just nice platitudes. They're not just band-aids to put on these horrific situations. Peace and love aren't for wimps. Get it? Peace and love are not for wimps. That's serious, advanced work. And it's our work. Wherever we are on the journey, it's our work. And like the Unity principles, the concepts are simple and not easy. You know, the five Unity principles, Unity in a nutshell, are printed in your bulletin every single week. And the fifth principle says that you have to practice these principles in your life. You have to live them. Walk the talk. Put feet to your prayers. And we know it's not easy, but it certainly feels easier when we're all together like this, doesn't it? At least feels a little easier. Am I the only one? It feels, you know, it's... we're individuals, but we're uniquely the same. And all of our minds come together here on a Sunday, or maybe in a more intimate classroom during the week, or a workshop on a Sunday afternoon, where we get to go into closer community. We get to go deeper together. And then we take it into the outside world, where we have the opportunity to love the hell out of them. And if you are in this very room right now, you are already in the army of soldiers of light. Sorry. There is something good that we know will come from all of this madness and insanity. We have to know this. We have to hold to that truth. There is something shifting here in seismic proportions. We are being called to be more, to stand up. It's not either or, it's both and. We must follow the spiritual warriors who have gone before us, integrating the good that is happening all around us. And we know that life is lived from the inside out. Yes? Life is lived from within. And I continually marvel. I love the way the universe works with divine synchronicity. You know, what appears to be a coincidence, as if. And the timing of our upcoming weekend staycation retreat in 2 weeks. When the name of this retreat came to me a while back, out of the woods and into the light, I could not have had any idea how appropriate and needed this would be, the theme of this retreat. To acknowledge the darkness that we are experiencing individually and collectively, and to work together in intimate community to work through it all. Retreat is the way, it's the perfect way to nurture the light that's in us. And we are light. In challenging times, it's especially important to go apart. And even though we're going to be right smack in the middle of New York City, we will be going apart to nurture, to commune. We will be coming out of the dark of the woods together and into the light that we are all here to express, and the journey that will take. I have no doubt that the wonderful weekend in two weeks from now is going to feel like somewhere between 1 and 2 weeks long. And aside from the opportunity of self-discovery, growth, and empowerment, one of my favorite things about the retreat, it's really an opportunity to get to know people in the community that you just don't get a chance to know on a Sunday morning in the short amount of time that we're together, or even to get to know deeply in class time together. And it creates a really unique and sacred enclosure for spiritual sharing and intimacy. And of all the ways that we meet each other and we come together here, retreat is the ultimate doorway, really, for me, of making new friends, meeting new people that become lifelong friends. But most of all, doing a retreat is a deep commitment to self. And this is not an infomercial for the retreat, but I feel really strongly to tell you to check your spirit, check your heart, if this is something that resonates with you, because it's going to be incredibly healing. And space is limited, but you know what? If you want to go, we will make room for you to be there. We created this retreat in a much more affordable way to open the experience up to as many of us as possible, because a lot of people have wanted to go on the winter and summer retreats in the past, and they've said, it's not in my budget. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it because I need the reminders. We teach what we need to learn. We teach what we need to know. And I need the reminders of truth and possibility right now. What's a tool that you have, that you use, that's important to you in your spiritual toolbox? Anybody? Prayer. What else? Nature? Nature, affirmations, what else? Meditation, something, music, kindness, journaling, big time, engaging. My dog. Dog is God spelled backwards. And yeah, yes, 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 and ritual. Ritual is a good thing. Study. Absolutely. Okay, enough. So we know, I'm talking about it over and over, there are good things going on around us, near and far. For instance, right here at Unity of New York, creating the retreat, more workshops, we've been able to offer more classes, more groups to participate in. It's very exciting. And you might have wondered, or not, what in the world the title on the front of your bulletin is about. You may not have even looked at it. Yeah, I see you looking now. You thought that was just a fan, didn't you? Well, here's the news flash. One of the wonderful things that's going on is we are moving out of the basement of St. Michael's. Our one little room. Okay, so we've referred to it a few times as the Divine Dungeon. But it's really served us well. Our one little room in the basement has served us well, and we are so, so, so grateful for it. It's the place that we have continued to put the coal in the engine of Unity of New York. And it has really served its purpose. And when we moved in there, next month will be 2 years ago, we thought it would be much less temporary. Or much more temporary, actually, Freudian. And I remember thinking, oh, maybe we'll be in here about 6 months, or 9 months. How metaphoric. The time it takes in the dark to give birth, to come out and rise up out of the basement, to be in the womb. Well, it takes 2 years for an elephant to give birth, and that's a little more appropriate. And that's good. Good thing. But we have all this time, we have been acting as if, living week to week, planting seeds, nurturing the seeds, with a lot of hope and a lot of faith. And just week before last, an office opened up on the third floor of St. Michael's. So we don't even have to change our stationery. And they really love and they appreciate us. And they said, oh, we want you to live better. We really do. And we want to make this work for you. And so we got together at last week's board meeting. And thoroughly, I had exhaustively written down, I changed it to thoroughly, thoroughly discussed how we can reconfigure some things financially and not let this opportunity pass us by. And so we're moving on up. And we are really excited within the next month. We're gonna have light, a higher ceiling. I won't be going like this all the time, trying not to hit a pipe in the basement or a feng shui crystal. I always find that funny. I'm getting whacked in the head by feng shui crystals to help the chi. We're gonna have room to expand, which is very appropriate because that's just what we're doing. We are expanding, we are continuing to expand, and it's absolutely awesome. We have to change a condition in our lives to grow and to flourish, don't we? There's got to be a change. And change takes time. There's a very wise friend of mine who just days ago said, the Queen Mary can't turn on a dime. Takes a little while. The other day, I was also having breakfast with a dear friend of mine, and we were talking about what's going on. She's a spiritual leader, and she said that she was having a conversation with someone in her community who is Jewish and was talking about the ritual of the 10 plagues during Passover. Who all is familiar with that? Okay. During the Seder, during Passover. And as part of the process of Seder, going through the steps, when calling out the 10 plagues of Egypt, everyone dips their fingers in the cup of wine and removes a drop. And I hope I'm getting this right. If not, it's going to be my ritual. But removing a drop for each plague of all the 10 plagues, because we can't fully rejoice while our enemies are suffering. And this represents that every time something happens in the world, it takes away a little more joy in all of us. And they don't celebrate the plagues, but they understand them and know the importance of remembering why they happened. And I love having these conversations with someone. And we were talking about what is the collective ritual that we need to facilitate healing. There's going to be a couple of doozies on the retreat, I can tell you that. What is it in each one of us that needs to be healed? What are we flicking out of our glass of wine, drop by drop, from all this suffering that has recently been experienced? Istanbul, Nice, Dallas, Orlando, Baton Rouge, Minnesota. I don't want to keep going. I feel like I'm diminishing the lives of so many others because I can't remember them all. I can't even begin to remember them all. But what I have to remember is that the light and the dark are of equal importance. We can't have one without the other. It's the yin, the yang, the balance of everything. And we are indeed moving on up out of the basement at Unity of New York. And I'm so grateful because as we expand, we're here to hold the high watch. That's part of a big part of what this ministry is, to live the truth, to be the truth, to be a house of hope and of possibility. And to keep on keeping on in the possibility of peace and of joy and of love. There are bombs being dropped all around us, so let's drop some love bombs. How about that? Because love does eventually win. And Bishop John Shelby Spong reminds us every time he's here with us to love wastefully. I love that. To notice the good when we are being bombarded by news reports that say the opposite. I think of Anne Frank. And speaking of journaling, if you don't think that journaling is powerful, consider this quote by Anne Frank. For someone like me, it is a very strange habit to write in a diary. Not only that I've never written in one before, but it strikes me that later, neither I nor anyone else will care for the musings of a 13-year-old schoolgirl. Picture being stripped of everything you've ever known. You and your family are brutally robbed of every possession you have worked so hard for. You're forced to wear a symbol on your arm that brands you as being inferior. People call you names, they physically attack you, or even kill you without cause. They say your human value as a human being is equal to the value of a sewer rat. Well, I won't go on and on into this story because most of us know it. But Anne Frank, when her family went into hiding, she kept a diary all the while her family was there for 26 months, living in darkness and quiet to avoid being caught. And when her diary was found, her powerful words and insights have offered comfort and bravery to so many countless millions of people amid war and violence and bigotry and fear. And here's a few things she wrote in her diary. I live in a crazy time. It's difficult in times like these. Ideals, dreams, and cherished hopes rise within us, only to be crushed by grim reality. It's really a wonder that I haven't dropped on my ideals because they seem so absurd and impossible to carry out. Yet I keep them because in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. Everyone has inside of him a piece of good news. And the good news is that you don't know how great you can be, how much you can love, what you can accomplish, what your potential is. I don't think of all the misery, but of the beauty that still remains. We all live with the objective of being happy. Our lives are all different, yet all the same. Think of all the beauty still left around you and be happy. Whoever is happy will make others happy. Look at how a single candle can both defy and define the darkness. How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world. In the long run, the sharpest weapon of all is a kind and gentle spirit. Human greatness does not lie in wealth or power, but in character and goodness. People are just people. And all people have faults and shortcomings. But all of us are born with a basic goodness. He who has courage and faith will never perish in misery. This from a girl living in hiding 26 months, who thought no one could possibly ever care about the musings of a 13-year-old schoolgirl. Isn't that astounding? You matter. We all matter. We are spiritual warriors, soldiers of light. And as I reminded us all last week, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. The truth will always somehow prevail. We must keep believing, like Anne Frank, that there really is good in everyone. We must be soldiers of light, unapologetically. The basement can be a dark place, but we can rise up out of it. And we are. So again, in the words of Martin Luther King Jr., just go out and love the hell out of everybody. Just cause. And keep moving up. Spiritus, let's move on up. Wherever you are in this moment, let's allow, wherever you are, to just seep in like the water into the soil. Whatever this experience of being here in community today is for you, we remember together that we are so blessed. We are so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. I'm so blessed. And so I pray. In the midst of the storm, I close my eyes. I pause. I become still. And I allow the dull roar of despair to fade to an imperceptible whisper. And I listen. I listen to that voice that is always guiding my way. But I have to pause. I have to get still to listen, to hear. From the very depths of the stillness, I find renewed hope. When you approach me in stillness and in trust, you are strengthened. You need a buffer zone of silence around you in order to focus on things that are unseen. And since I am invisible, you must not let your senses dominate your thinking. We must release the overstimulation of the senses. It blocks out the awareness of the unseen world. The tangible world still reflects the very glory of God to those who have eyes that see and ears that hear. And spending time alone is the best way to develop seeing eyes and hearing ears. The goal is to be aware of unseen things even as you live out your life in this visible world. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal. What is seen is temporary, and what is unseen, unseen, is what is eternal. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. How beautiful. And we now enter into the time of silence, where we find renewed hope in the silence.